And today is the third deposit on this series, The Cause. The hard saying of Jesus. I'd rather not talk about the hard saying. When you talk about hard saying, it frightens us, don't we think, why Jesus made things so difficult? But I would rather see the cause that Jesus talked about to follow him. Brian, the cause that Jesus talked about to follow him, the cost that we must be willing to pay to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is the cost that the early church paid. The early disciple paid the cost. In fact, the cost that we had to pay to be a disciple have not altered or changed. In fact, the cost becomes more costly. You know, the price to pay becomes higher when we live, you know, in a more affluent world like we are today. When we enjoy and we have comfort and we enjoy prosperity, peace, and plentiful, it is harder to pay the cost. In the early church, they don't have much, so paying the cost is not difficult. But today, we enjoy so much, it becomes hard to pay the cost. When it comes to you, you must be willing to pay the cost. When it comes upon you, the question of Jesus or yourself, would you say Jesus first? When it comes to you about Jesus or relationship, will you say Jesus first? When it comes to you about Jesus or riches, would you say Jesus first? It's a great challenge, don't you? For us who have said Jesus first, we say it without regret. We say it because Jesus is worth everything in your life. So today we look at Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to verse 22. And my sermon is, what do I treasure most? Let's look at the scripture. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, kneeled down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, you must not cheat anyone, honor your father and mother." Wow. And what was the reply of this young man? "Teacher," the man replied, "I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Wow. You would want to have a son like that, wouldn't you? Looking at this man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Now Jesus looked at him and loved him. "There is still one thing you have not done. One thing that is lacking," he told him. "Go and sell all your possession and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." As this man's face fell, he went away very sad, for he has many possessions. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your words this morning. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, we pray for those who are sick also. We pray that you will touch them, heal them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, firstly, I have to ask you, what is treasure? Treasure is something that is valuable to you. Treasure can be tangible or intangible. You know, and treasure can be something that you held in your hand or something stored in the safe. Some people have few expensive watches in the safe, money in the safe. Or it can be something stored in the mind. That means you don't have to have it physically to become a treasure. What is in your mind that you're always thinking about and thinking about can become your treasure. Or store in the heart. The thing about whether it's in the mind or at a home safe deposit, only you know the combination number to your treasure. Only you know. So treasure can be money, physical assets, or values. And some people treasure a person. They treasure their children, they treasure, you know, hobby, they treasure a memory, a reputation, a position, a prestige, and many other things above God. Remember Achan in the Bible? What did he treasure? He treasured the Babylonian garment and the little silver and gold above God. He took them and he lost everything. How about Ananias and Sapphira? They treasured what other things and thought about them. They wanted the approval, the honor, and the praises of men above God. And they lost everything, including their life. You can know what is your treasure by what you think most important to you. That which you believe that you cannot go without. That which brings you the greatest pleasure and satisfaction in your heart. That which you think most about. Because that treasure becomes your security and your love. And you may give up other things, but you are not willing to part with your treasure. What is your treasure? Treasure breaks the first three commandments of the Ten Commandments. Because the first three commandments tell us we must focus only on God. That God is first in all things and everything. So, what is your treasure? What do I treasure most? I remember my childhood. Life was simple and free. How many of you remember that? Survivor was the only thing in my mind. You wake up, the only thing in your mind is what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. Remember that, Henry? It was all about survival. What do I know about treasure at that age? No treasure, just about survival. But as life gets better, I start to work. Now I understand the power of what? Money. The power of money. Who said you don't need money? But one thing I can tell you, to many people, money is never what? Enough. Then I understand the power of money. With money comes treasure. When you got no money, you only got imaginary treasure. Just imagine. When you got little or limited money, you got limited or little treasure. Much money, many treasure. And we all have treasure. You don't have to be rich to have treasure. We all have treasure. The things that we value, things that are important. And some of this treasure are visible. Some of them are invisible. If it's visible, people can see what you treasure. When it's invisible, it's kept in our mind and our heart. Only God, who search all things, search all hearts, and know what is in our mind. Only He knows what is our treasure. If you have watched that movie Titanic, how many of you watched the movie Titanic? Not the old one, the newer version. There was a moment where the rich woman ran into her room, for the jewelry that she treasured. It was said that the passenger that goes into the Titanic ship, a lot of them are rich people. Some of them took 1 year to prepare themselves to go to this cruise. And they will bring their best wardrobe. They will pack and bring all their jewelry, because in this ship, it was a place to display how rich you are. So in this movie, it was about the ship that really hit the iceberg. You know, you thought that life, saving your life, would be the most important thing. But she ran into the room for her treasure, the jewelry. And the movie shows us that she missed the lifeboat and she died. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Now, Jesus said the law of life is in all of us. We are hardwired. This is called the law of life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart, your wishes, your desire, that on which your life center will be also. Where is your treasure? There is where your heart is. If you know the great missionary by the name of David Livingstone, the great missionary in Africa, when he died, his body was buried in UK. But his heart was buried in a little African village, the country, the people that he loved. Let me ask you this question. If your heart were to be buried in the place that you love most during life, where would it be? Where would your heart? Where do you spend most of your time, money, and thoughts is where your treasure is. So when I read this passage, sell all you have and give it to the poor. As a teenager, I have nothing. It was easy to read this passage. How many of you realize that? And when I read this as a teenager, I tell myself, you know, maybe Jesus do have a problem with rich people. Then I read later on in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said this, I say it again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Gee, Jesus must have a problem with rich people. Then I read Jesus said to this young rich ruler, to sell everything and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. I asked myself as a teenager, do Jesus has problem with rich people? The answer is no. God calls Abraham to leave everything and follow him, and he blessed Abraham. Abraham pursued not riches, Abraham pursued God. And in pursuing God and not blessing and riches, God gave him much, much more than what he gave up for obeying him. In fact, Abraham was so blessed and blessed above all others that God never ever commanded Abraham to sell everything and give it to the poor. To Abraham, the dearest treasure would be his son. He had prayed for it. He had cried over it. Give me a seed. That would be a real precious treasure to Abraham. But yet we find that he was willing to sacrifice him to the Lord, because God was his treasure. God was first in his life, and God was all things and everything in his life. I want you to know, you can be rich, you can be blessed, yet God can be your treasure, not your blessing or your riches. How about David? He was blessed, blessed, and blessed, and he freely gave to those that are in need. He gave generously to the building of God's house. But God never commanded David to sell everything to give it to the poor. He never. David knew God was first and above all others. And everything he has was from who? Was from God. In the day, he became the son-in-law to King Saul and lived in the palace. One day. In the day, he lost everything and became a fugitive running for his dear life. In the day, he became king of Judea. In a day, he became king of Judea and Israel. You see, David realized one thing. One thing about the treasure that is in your life. One day can change everything. How many of you realize that? One day can change everything. Because David recognized, one day can change everything in your life. Do you know one day can change your treasure? That's why God always said, let me be your treasure, because any other treasure is only temporary and it is changeable. We know that Jesus called Peter, James, and John, and they left their net and boat to follow him and to become his disciple and apostle. But you know, Jesus never called them to sell their boats and their net. How many realize that? Jesus never. How we know? Because later on, they went back to their old trade. They went back, what? Fishing. Until Jesus recommissioned them. I want you to know, it is okay to be rich and successful. It is okay and it's all right to do well in your life. Being poor and living in poverty and in lack do not bring glory to God. Realize that. You see, as a young Christian, I heard these scriptures that say, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I forgot to hear the whole scripture. The whole scripture was, blessed are those that are poor in what? In spirit. I just hear the word, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I thought, God, you really want me to be poor? No. It's to be poor in what? In spirit. So, God wants us to be rich. He wants us to be blessed. But he wants us to know that they must not take his place and his position. Only remember that your riches, your success, and your money must not be the treasure of your heart. That everything God has given to you must be your servant to serve, not your master to rule you. That's why the exhortation of Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and verse 19. Some scripture is charge or command those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money. So what does it mean? That God, you made me rich, but I must trust who? I must trust you. I don't trust in my money. It's not a question of what you have. It's a question of who you trust. So the exhortation is this. For those who are rich, not to trust in their money, but to trust in God, who richly give us all we need for our enjoyment. Amen. That God give it to us for who? Not to be a curse. God give it to us for our enjoyment. But what are we to do? Not just enjoy ourselves. You see, I want you to be blessed. And I pray that every one of you will be blessed. But learn this. You are blessed to be a what? A blessing. Not to bless and bless yourself and bless yourself and bless yourself. You are blessed to be a blessing. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may receive true life. Only to this young rich ruler did Jesus call him to sell, not just sell some, not sell half, not sell three quarters, but to sell all and give it to the poor. Wow, I don't know about you, if I'm the rich ruler, it's hard. How many of you say it's hard? Come on, let's be honest, it is hard. What was Jesus saying to him? Jesus was calling him to be mindful of the things that he allowed to become his treasure. Because whatever it is that become valuable, that become treasure him, would steal and take his affection and his love, his time, his energy, and his attention from what? From God. What is Jesus is telling him? Jesus is telling him that he should lay up where? Treasure in what? In heaven. And this is what the Bible says. And do not hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moth, or corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Hey, I'm telling you, you notice that today, you don't need someone to come to your house to break in to steal from you. They can steal from the website. Scammer. I mean, hey, how many realize that scammer works on one thing? You know what the scammer works on? Greed. Scammer work on greed. If you see an advertisement that is too good to be true, it is not. It is not true. But greed tells us it has to be true. That bicycle is only $50. How can the bicycle be $50 when it's sold every place for $1,000? It is too good to be what? To be true. So Jesus said, hey, be careful that, you know, you put your treasure, stop up your treasure in heaven where it is safe from all this, from rust, from devaluation, from burger. Because, why? Because where your treasure is, there is where your heart is going to be. See, lay up treasure in heaven. Each one of you here, you have a heavenly account. Remember to deposit to it when you are on where? When you are on earth. There are many jokes about St. Peter. A man died and went to heaven. He was met at the pearly gate by St. Peter, who led him down the golden street. They passed through many beautiful mansions until they came to the end of the street, where they stopped in front of a run-down cabin. The man asked St. Peter why he got a hut when there are so many mansions he could live in. St. Peter replied, I did the best with the material you sent me. Remember to deposit for your heavenly account. So when you look at this passage, what do you treasure the most? Well, I'll tell you, there are four things that this young man treasured, this rich young ruler. Firstly, and he treasured the right thing, he treasured eternity. And that's a good thing. He came running to Jesus, he kneeled before Jesus, and he came to Jesus with one of the life's most important questions. You know, other people had come to Jesus and they asked Jesus questions. I know this question that they asked Jesus is neither tricky or want to trap Jesus. It's like they came to Jesus and said, should we pay tax to Caesar or not? Or what young man came to Jesus and asked Jesus a question, Jesus, why don't you tell my brother to divide the inheritance between us? And this is a more crazy fellow who came to Jesus. He came to Jesus with this question, said, Jesus, a man has a wife. and he died. And so the brother married her, and the brother died. And the third brother married her, and he also died. And the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, and all then died. The end, she also died. Now, whose wife is he? See, they came with all kind of funny questions. The funny thing about this guy who asked Jesus this question is the Sadducees. And the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. So he asked Jesus this question to trap Jesus. But now this young man, this Yiddish young man came with one of the most, life most important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Because God has set eternity in the hearts of men. There's something within us, that recognizes that life is more than just being here. There must be something more than just living here. There's something within us called eternity that God has put in our heart. That's why the human heart question, why am I here? What happened after I die? So he came because he treasured eternity. Being a Jew, he will be brought up with the belief of rewards and punishment. That's what they are taught. Reward and punishment. How do you know? Well, the Old Testament tells us, obey, you get what? Blessed. Don't obey, you get into punishment. So they are always brought with this idea of reward and punishment. And so in this concept of reward and punishment, they are also brought with this belief of the resurrection of the dead. The people who die will one day be resurrected. And then if they are resurrected, there will be a coming judgment, a reward and punishment. So, this young man wants to be sure of his eternity. How about you? How about you? Secondly, what does he treasure? He treasures personal goodness. He came to Jesus and said, good teacher. Because when he said to Jesus, you are a good teacher, he has set a standard of what? Or what is good? And if he has set a standard of good, this is man's standard. This is how he sees. Therefore, if Jesus is a good teacher, then all other teachers can also be good teacher. He did not come to Jesus and see him as the Son of God, the Messiah. He came to him and said, you are a good teacher. So when he said and treasured and said to Jesus, you are good, he treasured personal goodness. If Jesus is good, I'm also what? I'm also good. Yeah? My friends are also good. Those that I associate with are also good. How many of us, when we witness to someone and say, hey, you need to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin? How many of you, when you witness to someone, what do they say to you? What do you mean forgiveness of sin? I'm a good person. How many of you realize that? I never steal, I never kill, I never cheat. You know, I'm not like some rotten people. I'm a good person. So he treasured personal goodness, you know. And this is when he said to Jesus, and this is how he gauged himself, I kept the commandments since I was young. I'm a good person. I did the right thing all my life. I loved my neighbor. But Jesus looked at him and said, look, personal goodness is not good enough. In fact, performance, possession, what you have, and personal goodness cannot inherit eternal life. The only way you can inherit eternal life is through the grace and faith in Jesus Christ. You see, if you want to measure the word good, you must measure in terms of whose standard? God's standard. God was the first to use the word good in creation. The definition of good starts with God and ends with God. So this young man looked at himself and said, I'm a good person. Personal goodness. Why not? I kept the seven commandments of the Old Testament. You know, but he broke the first three. The first three deals with relationship with God. Simply no God, no treasure, no others, no one or things except God and God alone, not God plus. God is first, God is supreme, God is above all else and all others. Simply love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So he treasured personal goodness. Then what does he treasure? And this is where many people do. He treasure himself. Self. Matthew Gospel tells us that he was a young man. Luke Gospel tells us that he was a ruler. The three Gospels tell us he was a rich man. That's why he's always called the rich young ruler. And because of what he has and who he is more likely a leader in the local synagogue, or perhaps a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the Supreme Court of the Jews. What he has become a treasure to him because what he has give him position, prestige, popularity, and power. He has made it in life. He has made it in the community. He is making among his people. He is highly respected and looked up. And now to give up everything is to lose his identity and social standing. That is a price too high to pay, too costly to follow Jesus. Lastly, what did he treasure? He treasured eternity, which is a good thing. He treasured personal goodness, which is not good enough. He treasured himself. So it's hard to give up what he has. What did he treasure? His deepest treasure was his possession, his money and his wealth. The Bible tells he has a lot of them. And he holds it so tight in his heart that it was too hard to let go of it. He allowed his treasure, what he has and owns, to define him. And sometimes people are like that. You know, what job do you have? Oh, but position. Wait, which company you work? Oh, he allowed all these things to define him. Jesus looked at him. And when the word that Jesus looked at him, it was eye to eye. It was eye contact. Have you ever done that to someone? Eye talk. I get fearful when my wife looks at me that way. Jesus looked at him, and this was the moment of truth. In fact, Jesus did not belittle him or reject him, though this young man was so full of who? Of himself. I'm a good man. I make it in life. I'm somebody in society. In spite of his self-centered attitude, the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Could you imagine that? That Jesus loved him? And Jesus said to him, one thing you lack, one thing you have not done, one thing left, just one thing. Say the word with me, one thing. One thing. One thing was the hardest thing in the life of this rich young ruler. And the one thing that Jesus told him was, go and sell your possession and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. You know, in his conversation with Jesus when he first started, there seems to be some light and some hope. Wow, I'm somebody. But as the conversation continued on, the word of Jesus, go and sell and give, broke his world. His world came crushing and thumbing down because he had a lot. He went away. The Bible says he went away what? Sad. Sad. You know what is it to be sad? Is to have a cloud on his mind. When he was talking to Jesus, it was quite clear in his mind, gee, I'm not a bad person after all. But now, with what Jesus said, it was a cloud over his mind. His face fell, no more smile, no more high spirit, and he was sorrowful. Now, is selling and giving to the poor is a rich man's way to inherit eternal life? then it will be simply work or buying his way to heaven. And we know we can't work or buy your way to heaven. Say amen to that. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was testing his heart. You remember Pastor Kara's sermon? God is a tester, not a what? A tempter. Testing his heart. What is truly important to him? What was the treasure of his heart? Outwardly, he was doing and saying the right thing. But inwardly, his heart is divided. His real treasure is not God. Even he said, I have kept the commandment. His real treasure was what he has. But he lacked one thing. What was the one thing he lacked? He lacked within him God, Jesus Christ. I don't believe that Jesus is saying to all of us to sell everything and give it to the poor. Some of you will say, it's okay with me, God, I don't have much to sell. I don't believe Jesus is saying that to all of us. Because to this young rich ruler, Jesus looked at his heart and searched his heart, and he saw that his status and his stuff or what he has become an idol and his treasure. And so Jesus asked him, choose. Worldly treasure or heavenly treasure? He was religious to the core. He said and do the right thing, but his heart was what? Covetous. Greedy. This rich young ruler has an opportunity to go higher and deeper with God, but the price was too great to pay. He wanted to follow Jesus on his own term. You know, there are people who say, I will be a Christian if Jesus will agree with me, my term. He ran to Jesus and he kneeled before Jesus. And when Jesus called him to give up his treasure and go further with him, take up the cross, follow me. It was just too hard. What does this young rich ruler want? He wants the broad and wide road. But Jesus offered him the narrow and difficult road. He said, no, this is not the road that I want to take. When Christ asked him to sell and give, Christ spoke to him and commanded him because God looked at him, Christ looked at him, and he loved him. Think of that. Some of the things that God asks us to give up is because he loves us. How many realize that? You know, sometimes we are like children. We won't want to give up because we hold so tightly. Because our parents do not know what is right and what is wrong. We know better. Have you ever been there before as a teenager? See, God knows what was good for him. And because he loved him and his command to him, that challenging command, was motivated by his love for him. But we know that this rich young ruler, he trusts what he has, his wealth, his money, more than God. It is important for you to realize you can have a lot, but don't trust what you have. Trust who? Trust God. Having money is not a sin. It's the love of money. And that's one thing you need to realize. You don't have to be rich to love money. You don't have, you can still love money. If only I have. This rich young ruler holds one thing. One thing that he holds and he holds so tightly in his life that he struggled to give up for Christ. That one thing can be his breakthrough. That one thing could help him to go to the next level with God. That one thing could be his transformation and fruitfulness. But it's the one thing that I hold. Hear the word of Jesus in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul? Anything. Nothing. Nothing. This word that I hear as a teenager, what does it benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Today, after 40 over years of following Jesus, it is still the same word. What do you gain? Sometimes that one thing may be the pleasure of sin. Or that one thing could be that one pain, one issue, one incident, one disappointment, one distraction that you hold so tightly. You don't need to have treasure that are positive. You can have treasure that are negative. You know that? And you hold it so tightly that you cannot let go. Today is your day to let go. How do you do it? You need faith. Faith. Like Moses in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to verse 26. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Prestige, position, power, possession. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the feelings, pleasure of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasure of Egypt, the passing treasure of this world. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. Means, for us to follow Jesus and willing to say yes to Jesus, we must always think not just this present moment, the reward that awaits us. We do not hear anymore about this rich young ruler. I wonder later on when he lie on the bed, and as his life was passing away, with all the treasure that he has on this earth, none he could take with him. Rich on earth, but poor in heaven. I wonder if he has opportunity, and we know it's not possible, to wind back the clock of his life with his conversation with Jesus. Would he have done differently? That one thing. As a teenager, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was, after school, finished secondary school, I was looking for a job. My uncle came to me and said, "Why don't you follow me?" He was a fisherman. A fisherman that takes the boat and go into, you know, Singapore doesn't have a lot of sea space to fish. They go into Indian Ocean, Indonesian water to fish. And he became a captain in this boat of 8 or 10 people. And I know how they fish. They will throw bombs into the water, dynamite. They will bomb the fish. Then they have to jump into the water because the fish is not dead. The fish is what? Unconscious. So the fish floats in the water, in the middle of the water. They will have to jump into the water and start to pick the fish. And he was telling me, "Hey, you could earn easily close to $1,000 if you follow me." Hey, those days, $1,000 is a lot of money, Henry. I was a young Christian, faithfully every week go to church, go prayer meeting, go Bible study. I was tempted, and I said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." But I know what the kind of life they live. They say that when you make easy money, you also blow away easy money. Kind of like that. So I told him, I'll follow you. You know, silly me, cannot even swim. But there are sometimes our motivation, we don't think far enough, cannot even swim. So I told my mom, "I'm going with my uncle." Of course, my mom is not pleased. She's not happy. Whatever. And I was just learning how to play guitar. And the song that I was learning how to play was this simple song. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Who knows that day when I learned to play that song by myself, I'd rather have Jesus or silver and gold. While playing and singing that song, I broke and cried. Broke and cried. And the question to me was this. Would you rather have Jesus or silver or gold? That's why I didn't go with my uncle. Not only because I can't swim. Because in life, we have to choose what we rather have. What we rather have. Looking back 40 years from there, from now, I'm glad I have to choose to follow Jesus. And I pray till the day I meet Jesus face to face, that I will choose Jesus all the time. Even sometimes it may seem difficult, it may seem costly. In some way, we are like this rich young ruler. Not in terms of wealth, but rather our unwillingness to follow Jesus further. We want a God that suits us. You know what was Israel's problem in their journey? Israel's problem can be put into one word found in the book of Psalms written by Moses. For this people limited God. That was Israel's problem. They limited God. They want a God that suits them. They don't want a God that they are ready to go further. God, this is as far as I will go. I encourage you. Christianity is not just about inherit eternal life. Thank God for that. We know without Christ we have no eternal life. But it's also willingness to take up the cross. And what it means, you have to deny yourself and to follow Him. What does it mean? Be like Him. Christianity is not about information, because we have enough information. Christianity is about transformation. Have you turned to God in absolute surrender? What are you still holding on? What is the one thing in your life? What must you let go to follow Jesus, no matter the cost? This is our third deposit on the cross. Next Sunday, we're going to do the next one, the continuation of this chapter. And this is the parcel. This is the word that always has, statement that always has puzzled me. Since a young believer, this word, this phrase, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. How many of you have thought of that? This is always something that, oh, what is Jesus trying to say? Next week, we'll talk about that.